Doesn't hurt to hope, right? Well, I appreciate your prayers. Jamie and I, tomorrow morning, will be traveling to Conway, Arkansas for the birth of our second grandbaby, which will be Tuesday at 9:30 in the morning, 10:30 Eastern time, unless something happens before that. So I appreciate your prayers for a faithful delivery. I'll be back in town on Friday or Saturday, and Jamie will be back in 2 years. Just a couple things before I forget. First of all, if I need to meet with the board real quick after our worship service right here in our normal room, if you could just come as quickly as you can. I've just got some information to share with you. And I think Deb Doris would appreciate me letting you know that this is alabaster offering season. Alabaster offering is a offering beyond tithes, regular tithes, and it is a missions effort, and all the money goes to the construction of hospitals and homes and schools on the mission field. So that offering will be taken this week and next week, and there'll be a place out in the foyer. We're doing it a little differently this year, so there'll be something next week for you to put your stuff in. But we hope you participate in that. And then, as Pastor Lista already announced, our revival coming up the end of February 24th through the 27th. It will start with Faith Promise Sunday. Dr. J.K. Warwick will be with us, and I know that you won't want to miss that time. And then Sunday night, we'll start revival and go through a Wednesday night. And before I get into the message, I just want to share with you some information that will help you pray. I don't know about you, but I appreciate the leadership that Kirsty has been giving us. I don't know where she went, but she's here somewhere, probably coming out. And the team, and I know that you have appreciated their worship leading and helping us as we have transitioned in these days. And so any chance you get, would you tell her thank you? And those band members and team who play so faithfully. We've been talking at the church board level about next steps, and we have diligently sought a part-time role for this position, and nothing really has panned out very well. We've had some conversations, but nothing serious. And so we had a lengthy discussion at the church board level last month, January, and I sort of pitched the idea to them that perhaps we should take a step of faith and trust the Lord to begin the process of seeking a worship pastor in a full-time capacity. And so, of course, when I brought it up, the room sort of gets quiet, because the reality is this is going to take a huge step of faith. When I said trust the Lord for a full-time position, I meant it, because the money is not there in the budget in pure dollars. And really the only way that we can take a risk and trust the Lord and see what he's doing in this capacity is to just sort of go out there and see what God is going to do and trust him with it. We feel like it's the Lord's will and we want to move forward. We're going to trust him to take care of our needs. And so we're taking that step of faith. And I'm letting you know so you know how to pray. And number two, just you and the Lord get together. And I may come back formally and talk about this, but talk to the Lord about amping up any giving you can give. You know, every little bit, everyone doing a little bit more will help us cross that bridge. But I just feel in my spirit that I'm willing to take the risk, and the board is allowing me to proceed and to carefully weigh the will of the Lord and how all of this works. And so I don't want to belabor the point. I think you get it, but I'm in fact tomorrow, Jamie and I on our way will be conducting just a face-to-face interview with someone that I have an interest in, And so we're testing the waters. So I just want you to pray and help us as we process and pass through this next phase of our ministry here at Grace Point. And I would like us to just pause a moment, if we could, and ask the Lord to help us as a congregation, help the leadership team, help myself, and all who we talk to discern the will of the Father in these days. Let's pray. Lord, we place ourselves before you today and recognize that we don't know it all. I don't know it all. We're wanting to do your will and seek this position more permanently. I thank you, Lord, first of all, for Kirsty and her leadership and her willingness and sacrifice. I just thank you so much for her contribution and helping us in this season. And so I pray, Lord, that as we sort of begin to transition our thinking, that God, you would help us to think rightly, and that you would make your will known, and that you would make things clear, and that, Father, we can put our trust in you. If your will never take us where your grace cannot keep us. And so, Lord, we're going to trust in that, and I just pray that our eyes would be open and that we would see you clearly. Lord, we look at the budget, and we look at it in human terms. We look back and know that you've been so faithful to us, and there's no reason why you won't continue to be faithful to us. So, Lord, we pray that you would boost that in our hearts and minds. And we'll give you the glory and the honor today, and thank you for what you're going to do, whatever that looks like. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I have a question for you this morning, and my question is, by the way, how many of you had time this week to take your brown paper bag with the grocery list on it and to fill it in and give it away? People take time to do that. Anyone have an opportunity to do that? Okay, we've got a couple. So if you don't know what I'm talking about, we gave away a brown paper bag with a grocery list on it of simple items, and the idea was to fill it up and give it away as God gave you direction. There's some bags out on the Welcome Center. This is a outreach on your own, and so I hope you take advantage of it. I've gotten a great story already from it, and that's pretty exciting. So let's do something for the Lord in that regard and bring your stories back. Back to my question. I have a question for us this morning, and the question is this. What are the valuable things in your life? If I came to your house and said, I'd like you to give me a tour of your house, I want, just show me the stuff that's most valuable and precious to you. Some of you would go to a back room where you have a safe. Some of you would take me out into your garage. Some would take me back in the backyard and dig a hole and whatever you've got there. Whatever. We would talk about what's most valuable. You know, the Bible says that where our treasure is, there our hearts will be. So my question this morning is, what do you treasure? What's most valuable in your life? And can your family and friends and associates tell what you treasure by where your heart is? A few weeks back, Jamie and I went to, I can't remember if we went to go watch this movie or we watched it at home, but Christopher Robin. Anyway, as we watched Christopher Robin, I prefer something a little more dangerous than Christopher Robin when I go watch a movie, if you know what I mean. But it was date night, and we went to watch Christopher Robin, and it was fun. But as you know, Christopher Robin, the movie Christopher Robin, is a look at what happened when Christopher Robin Winnie the Pooh and all of their buddies from the 100-acre wood after they grew up. How many of you watch Christopher Robin? Just as a poll, how many men watch? Thank you, man. I appreciate that. So as adults, we're introduced to a hard-working Christopher Robin who works at a luggage company, and it becomes clear that Christopher Robin works long hours and seems to have less and less and less and less time for his family. His wife and his daughter are getting ready for a holiday out in the country. And all of a sudden, Christopher Robin's job situation changes and he can't go. And of course, they're disappointed. And his wife chides him a little bit about missing out of what is most important in life. And later, Winnie the Pooh asks Christopher if his case of important papers are more important than a red balloon. And Christopher Robin said, well, yes. Later on in the film, Winnie the Pooh asked Christopher Robin if his case of important papers is more important than his daughter. And after a long pause, Christopher Robin says, of course not. Christopher Robin valued his work and valued his family, but his heart was in his case of important papers. So often it is easy to misdesignate value. And I put it that way because life is full of things that are valuable, but sometimes we don't do a very good job of properly assigning priorities to what's important. You know what I'm saying? So like me, it can be easy for me to prioritize a medium Butterfinger blizzard with extra Butterfinger ahead of my value for going to the gym and exercising. In fact, I'm probably a poster child. Christopher Robin valued his family, and he valued his work, but he misdesignated their placement in life, and he prioritized his work before his family. This morning, I want to talk about what's valuable to those who follow Jesus, and how we can distinguish between what has greater and lesser value. I mentioned a moment ago the words Jesus is recorded as saying by Matthew and Luke, two different accounts, in Matthew 6 and Luke 12, where he says, wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. And when you look at Jesus' words and hear them and read them, you ask the question, well, I wonder how Jesus did with that. I wonder how if you could tell what Jesus valued. And I think we could all agree that people are Jesus' treasure. And we find his heart on the cross where he died for our sins so that with sin out of the way, we can enter into a relationship with him, that we could treasure him like he treasures us. So we are most valuable to Jesus, and we see his heart on the cross. If that makes sense, say yes. A little later down, a little further down in Matthew chapter 6, a few verses later, Jesus says, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Our tendency as humans is to flip that verse upside down. Our human tendency, It's our problem. It's It's the human tendency to prioritize what's most valuable to us, and hopefully there's time left over for the kingdom of God and righteousness. I don't know about you, but I struggle with that, even as a pastor, to ensure that my heart is after Jesus and to make sure that nothing gets in the way. And I just want to clarify that you know, God wants us to have fun. He wants us to have those valuable things. He wants us to cherish the things of the world. It's not all sin, but the thing is, he wants to ensure that we don't put it above him. I'm telling you things that we already know. I like the Message paraphrase of Eugene Peterson. He says, steep your life in God reality, God initiative, God provision. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. Do you believe that this morning? God calls us into his kingdom and tells us to value it and prioritize it above everything else, and we will have everything we need. Can we go back to Winnie the Pooh the last time? I don't even like to say Winnie the Pooh. To take up the question, a Pooh Bear is the case of important papers in your life more important than the kingdom of God? Let me narrow it some more. Or what is in your case of important papers that you are putting above him? It may not be every paper. It may not be everything. But is there something? I just want to say to you this morning, God wants it. God calls every believer to operate as a citizen of his kingdom. In the month of February, I'm going to be preaching a series called Kingdom Call. Kingdom Call. And the goal of the series is to help us discern if we have properly designated what's most important in our case of important papers. Next week, we're going to talk about Jesus and his call of the disciples as they were out fishing that day. We're going to talk about a personal call that God gives each of us. Because the call of God is represents his desire for the church, the call of God is for everyone. The call does not discriminate because I'm a pastor and you are not, because I'm a professional clergy, whatever that means, and you are laity. The call of God does not distinguish. Now, the reality is that we are designated differently, and so while God's call on our life as individuals may be different because I'm a pastor and you are not, the reality is that God calls everyone. And if you have ever sensed the call of God in your life, there's probably been some resistance that has gone along with that. I resisted my call that God gave me to be a pastor. I've told you that story, so I won't go back into it. But most of the calls that God gives people are resisted. And our text this morning is an example of God's call on someone's life who dug in and resisted a little bit what God wanted them to do. And I invite you to stand with me, if you would, in reverence to the Word of God. And I want us to read together these words found in Jeremiah. This is my typo. It's actually chapter 1, verse 4. Flip those letters around, but the words are still the same. And I like us to just to read it together. I love to hear your voices. You're doing so well in worship. So let's read these words together, which are Jeremiah chapter 1, beginning at verse 4. Here we go. O Israel, says the Lord, if you wanted to return to me, you should throw away your detestable idols and stray away no more. That is actually Jeremiah chapter 4. So I'm going to read the real text. So don't pay attention. That's my fault. Sorry, guys. Here we go. This is God's call. This is God's call. I could use a Butterfinger Blizzard right now. It'd probably help me feel better. Here we go. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4. This is Jeremiah's call to the prophet to serve him. The Lord gave me this message, Jeremiah said. I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as my prophet to the nations. You know, last week I preached a message on life, and we talked about the whole abortion issue and how whatever's in the womb we believe is a person. And if I would have thought of this verse, I would have included it. It continues to amaze me. You know, God only calls people. God identified Jeremiah before he was formed. You following that? That's just another add-on. I appointed you as my prophet to the nations. Verse 6. O sovereign Lord, I said, this is Jeremiah, I can't speak for you, I'm too young. The Lord replied, don't say I'm too young, for you must go wherever I send you and say whatever I tell you. And don't be afraid of the people, for I will be with you and will protect you. I, the Lord, have spoken. Then the Lord reached out and touched my mouth and said, look, I have put my words in your mouth. Today I appoint you to stand up against nations and kingdoms. Some you must uproot and tear down, destroy and overthrow. Others you must build up and plant. This is the word of the Lord, and you may be seated. When Jeremiah is faced with the call of the ministry, he is unprepared. And I was thinking about God's call in all of our lives, whatever it looks like, whether it's, you know, pastoral ministry, or whether it's to teach a Sunday school class, or whether it's to agree to have your name on the ballot for church board coming up, or serve in the community, or help teach junior high boys, or whatever it is. There is some, you know, because of the enemy, he wants us to resist a little bit the pull of God to serve, because the enemy knows that if we'll respond in obedience to God and we get into the center of God's will, he's sort of rendered powerless. And so Jeremiah, he was God's call is unexpected and uninvited, but the reality is it is non-negotiable. And Jeremiah was so overwhelmed by the call of God that he did something that most young people don't do when it comes to challenges. He says, God, I don't know. I think I'm too young. Verse 6. I can't speak for you. I'm too young. I could remember my first pastoral assignment at the age of 22 or 23 in Boonville, Indiana. And I felt so inadequate. You know, I was 20, Jamie and I were 23, 24, and the average age of our church was 152. I felt way, way inadequate. Precious, precious people that we still think about fondly, but wow. And I thought, I think back and, you know, those poor people. Poor people. But God qualifies the call. He has a knack of doing that. And maybe think of the coach of the next Super Bowl champions, Sean McVay. Sean McVay was the youngest ever to be hired 3 years ago at the age of 30. January 24th, he turned 33. I promise you, when Sean McVay was being interviewed for the job of head coach of the LA Rams, he didn't say to the management, you know, I think I'm too young. But when God called Jeremiah, it was unexpected and uninvited enough that he threw up his hands and he says, there's no way, I can't do it, I can't speak, I can't preach, I'm too young. And the result is Jeremiah is in a long list of famous resistors. Think about Moses. Moses saw a burning bush and he heard God speak out of the burning bush, let my people go. And Moses said, I can't speak well enough. But Moses led a couple million people out of Egypt into the promised land. God enabled him. Isaiah 6, God called him. Isaiah says, I'm not holy enough. I'm a man of unclean lips. I'm among this unclean people. But God purified him. He qualified him. Jonah wasn't surrendered enough. God called him to go to Nineveh and have a revival and get people, you know, saved and following a great Jehovah God. And Jonah says, I don't want to do that. I don't want to go there. And he got on that boat, and it took fish and chips to get him where he needed to be. At least fish. I don't know about the chips. And God turned him around, and it took confession, and it was hard. It was a hard transition, but even though he wasn't surrendered, he realized that he needed to get things right. Mary, this is not a negative statement on Mary, because we know she was willing, but I put Mary wasn't clear enough, because you remember when the angel said, you're going to have this baby, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. She said, how can this be? And she said, I've not been with a man. There for a while, it wasn't clear enough. And of course, Jeremiah, we've already talked about, isn't old enough, but he changed the hearts of a lot of people. And here's the last, this is number six, this is for all of us. How would you fill in the blank? What about you? I'm not what? Enough. What? I mean, don't say it out loud, but what would you say? How would you fill in the blank? You know, all these men and women felt like they weren't up for the challenge. And in reality, that's right where God wants us. In fact, God's not going to challenge us. I know we're trying to turn it off, so... The reality is that God is not going to challenge us with things within our grasp. Have you ever noticed that? Otherwise, we just wouldn't need God. I mean, God is always going to have us stretching, because it's in the stretching that God strengthens us and enables us and builds our faith so that we could do more for Him. That's why He wants to be sure that whatever's in our case of important papers doesn't get ahead of Him, no matter what the value is. Because if His kingdom, if the kingdom call is a priority, then God will be able to use us to the full extent. Now, I want to say this with as much love and as I can, but you know, I've been a pastor for 34 years, almost 35 years. I'm a third generation Nazarene, half Salvation Army. I'm mixed race here, of the best possible choices. And so I think I have some background to say this, but most of what the church does today is within our grasp. We go after things that are within easy reach. God's power is explosive when Christ followers hear the call of God and are willing to stretch for those things that are beyond our capacity to control. We'll talk more about this next week, but for now it's important to understand that when it comes to God's kingdom, we are never enough. We don't have enough. We aren't adequate enough. We don't know enough. We don't have what it takes. Nothing we have is capable of reaching lost people for Christ. Nothing we have within us. We are desperately in need of the power of the Holy Spirit. And God is, I just believe this, God is calling us to hear the call and be willing to risk and reach for what we believe we're not capable of. And when we reach for it, God gets all excited because he can show off. But as long as it's an easy reach and we don't need God, he'll let us do our thing. Because of our inadequacy, that alone should drive us to our knees. I think the evidence of people who understand and believe that we're not enough is active and earnest prayer. I have to, I've been waffling on this next part of my sermon because I don't want to be misinterpreted by what I say, but I'm going to trust the Lord and trust you. You'll know my heart. This has been one of the greatest pastoral assignments in my almost 35 years of pastoral ministry. If this is the last church I pastor, and I hope it is, it will go down as one of, if not the greatest pastoral experience. But I also want to say that it has also been one of my most challenging. When I came here as your pastor, I heard four things from the Lord. I heard him say, create a culture of prayer because you're going to need me for what I'm going to do. I heard him say, create a culture of worship where my presence is the highest value. Not attendance, not offering. His presence above all. Number three, create a culture of community through small groups. And number four, create a culture of serving corporately and personally. And it's not really the fifth one, but his word to me was, remove anything else that gets in the way. I hear the call of God to lead us deeper into his kingdom. This is the part where I don't want you to misinterpret. But I think we're stuck. I think we're stuck with doing what we have always done. And there's a fear that if we deviate from that, we're somehow not honoring of God, honoring our history, honoring our people. Now, I tend to absorb more responsibility than I should. Jamie always gets on me for this, but I'm going to own this. in front of you, my congregation. I feel like I'm not doing a very good job communicating and leading these four elements. And the reason I say that is I don't feel I've done a good job about communicating the vital necessity of prayer, how vital it is, how key it is before we do anything else, how important it is to lay a groundwork and a culture of prayer. I feel like I'm not doing a good job because I feel like if I was, we would have more than 10 people in a prayer meeting on a Wednesday night. It's not fashionable. It's not modern. It's not flashy. But if we want to see our children and our young people experience a transforming work of God, there is no other way than on our knees. If we truly value the kingdom of God so that He's at the top of our list, then nothing could keep us away. Not our clock, not our entertainments, not our fatigue, nothing. Work and sickness may be the limit to the reasons, but in my spirit, I just feel like we need to get unstuck. And I'm asking the Lord to help me help us. I feel like we're in between two worlds, where one world is the one we left behind 50 years ago, and the other is the world where we want to go. And we are stuck in the middle like Mr. Gumby. You know who I'm talking about? The stretchy dude. And if we're going to impact the future of our community, we need to be willing to let go of the past and let go of our idea of the future and settle in to asking God what He wants, and then tell Him, "I'll go where You want me to go, dear Lord. I'll say what You want me to say, dear Lord. I'll do what You want me to do, dear Lord." I don't think it's Winnie the Pooh asking the question, church. I think it's the Holy Spirit who saunters up to us in our spirit as individuals and as a church and asks us, "Is there anything in our case of important papers more important than seeking the kingdom of God above all else?" Here's the good news. Old Jeremiah, he threw up his hands and he said, "I don't know about that." And God pushed back and He said, "Don't be afraid of the people." You know, we can just say, "And don't be afraid, for I will be with you and will protect you. I, the Lord, have spoken." I close with this question on the screen. Are you willing? Am I willing to surrender anything in our case of important papers more important than God's kingdom call? I'd like you to stand with me this morning. You know, I always feel like I need to qualify comments that I make like this by reminding you that Jamie and I are committed and we love you. But like many in this room, we're not the only ones, many, we are committed to kingdom call and are willing to do whatever it takes to impact our neighborhood. And I'm sort of rebooting myself in a way to hear better. And I thought, I told Jamie last night, in fact, I've told her the last 3 weeks, I wish I didn't have to preach that sermon. But I feel like I'm being obedient this morning to get us thinking and praying. And so what I thought we could do, if you would oblige me, is that I'd like as many who would be able to step out and join me here at the front, and let's just together ask God to help us continue to do what we're doing and then continue to call us to stretch, to give us, help us to stretch to what He is calling us to do in the days ahead. So would you be willing to come this morning as we close? You could bring your stuff, bring your purse, whatever, jacket, I don't care. Our amen will be our benediction this morning. I'd like board members to come, leaders, youth workers, children's workers, ushers, greeters, nursery workers, the whole, you know, we're all in this together. And I'm so thankful for Grace Point. You know, the reality.